Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder and I'm here today with Jan in South Africa. And we're also with Alfred in we're not with him because he's thrown in jail for attending the trial of someone who was also thrown in jail for attending the trial of someone else who defended someone else who was thrown in jail for expressing an opinion. I mean, it goes all the way back. It's chain immigration into German jails, as I said. But we're going to have to leave that aside. So it's me and Jan today now. I had a visit from the FBI, and that's going to be the main subject of this discussion of Team White. Before we get going, I also want to say I have rebooted Kirksville today. Frankly, somewhat inspired by the FBI visit, and find me there. I print not just my stuff, but daily stuff that I find around the web, including from Jan in South Africa, where at the time you're listening to this, at the very end of August in 2018, the blacks have upped their campaign again and are publicly saying, we're just going to take the land from the whites. I don't know if we'll get into that today, but I'm just trying to place this in a frame because we're going to spend basically today, we're going to talk about this FBI visit, and Jan's going to ask me whatever he wants to ask, and I'll tell him whatever I remember, whatever I can, and how I see it in the context of 20 years in the white nationalist struggle, and that will be our main subject today. And again, thoughts go out to our partner, Alfred, who's in jail with his sister, Monica, but we can't do anything about that right now. We will be updating that on subsequent Team White. So anyway, Jan, I forget what day it was, but the FBI came by here within the last probably 3 weeks ago, maybe now, as we talk on the 28th of August. You have some questions you want to ask about it. Let's let the people in a little bit on how things actually work politically in the United States of America in the year 2018.
Okay, Alex. Yeah, I'm very sad about our comrade whom we've lost, and I don't know for how long we're going to lose our comrade Alfred. Alfred was freaking awesome for us this year, so that's a huge loss. But I really value the time that we chatted to him and the input he gave us. Because, you know, Alex, the one thing I saw about Alfred early on in this year when I first made contact with him was I realized that we've got a really special German here. Here's a man who's going to do something, and he knows he's heading to jail. But this guy is going to do what it takes, and he's going to take his beatings, and he's not even going to complain about it. So Alfred is really awesome, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And yeah, we need to get back to him, and we'll get back to the blacks who want to come and steal our shit, okay? So yeah, Alex, the big thing for me was when you told me a little while ago that the FBI paid you a visit, and when I heard that, my whole sense of the thing was, whoa, what the hell is this? Why is the FBI visiting you? It puts you in a whole different category, because if the FBI comes and talks to you, that is not something to be ignored. It's very important. And it puts you up right there with Dr. William Pierce, because I believe the feds were talking to him on many occasions. I believe they even tried to spy on them and infiltrate spies close to him. Tom Metzger has had visits from the FBI. They've come, and I think in 2009 they dashed into his house and they grabbed a whole bunch of his stuff. And Tom Metzger's also faced the FBI. So what is it that brought the FBI to your door, Alex?
Nothing illegal.
Okay, so you didn't actually kill a Jew. Okay, all right.
Well, what? we got into that pretty good. I thought you guys investigated crimes. What's going on, buddy? No, there was a couple of them, and
how many?
Two. Okay. And they were either both with the FBI or one was with the local. But I've seen the way that the cops do things in the last maybe 10 years is, and this I actually like, they were not hands-on gun. If they had guns, I don't know that they did. Probably they did, but I didn't notice any the way I normally have. In the past, I've been served subpoenas and dealt with cops or FBI. I don't make a huge distinction, really. And they are real. At some point, they got nervous in America. They're super nervous, and they're prepared for armed confrontation at all points when there's no really objective reason to be. And so these guys were more relaxed, and they just sort of showed up early afternoon, like probably around 1 p.m., and we talked for a couple of hours. That was maybe 3 weeks ago. Now, I did not have to talk to them, but I judged that I wanted to, and so I did. And it wasn't in relation to any crime or anything, but I think that thinking it over, you know, they're opening. They always are going to have a little opening gambit. We're not here to arrest you, but you know, you know why we're here. You know why we're here. Let's talk about it. You know why we're here. Okay. Like, well, you're not arresting me, and you say there's no crime, so I don't know why you're here. I thought you investigate crimes. Now, I don't act like a smartass, but I don't act like a weak ass either. And you have to push back and say, well, why are you here? If there's no crime, you guys investigate crime like bank robberies and whatever. Why are you here putting pressure? And then, you know, they start talking about, best I could tell, they had printouts either from my forum or maybe they were, I'm not sure if Varg has it set up so that my Gab stuff that I post on gab.ai, the one open social medium that I encourage people to join, and it's recently growing hugely. Varg, my technical guy, may have it set up so that what I post on Gab gets onto the forum. They seem to have printouts of stuff on the forum, but I have not posted a lot on the forum, so I don't know. But anyway, so I had been posting on Gab in recent weeks, like the hashtag time to kill, and saying that people are, it's legitimate to kill the oppressors.
Yeah.
And so that is, by the way, it's perfectly legal to say that. And so we did some back and forth, and they say, well, that's right on the line of being illegal. You may want to consult with a lawyer. I said, well, it's not even as far as you can go legally, but it's very clear. One of them put, well, you know, clear they're trying to basically say or imply that I'm somehow responsible if someone acts on my words. Now, how the hell can you prove that A is responsible for B's behavior when A doesn't know B? If A writes something and B acts on it, he could just be motivated. He is yet responsible for his own behavior. So that's what the base of the argument is. They are concerned when someone's saying it's okay to go out there and kill people, even though legally it's not illegal to say. And I have always said, as I told them, every man is responsible for his own behavior. I brought up fingerism and described that. I said, look, you know, if you can make your finger bend, you're responsible for your own behavior. I said, the information alone is enough to get people to kill. See Dylan Roof.
Yeah.
He read the information he read was at one of the milder sites where they're just purely rational. They don't emotionalize at all. They just present the interracial crime stats. That was enough. Him being shocked and not being jaded morally, that was enough to motivate him to action. So I said, it's your, and they don't like this, your employer, your boss, the people you're taking a paycheck from, the people you serve, right? These are the people producing the circumstances that are inevitably going to lead more people to react in this way, because you made it freaking impossible to do anything peaceful, you know. And I probably use the JFK quote I've often used.
Yeah.
A lot of other people use it now, but those who make peaceful change impossible make violent revolution inevitable, more or less. I might have paraphrased a little, but
yes.
So on and on. They're basically trying to say, they're basically, so I said at the end of the day, so just to be clear, when I'm picking up, so you two guys are come out here and brace me. I got to use a nice crime word. If you read detective fiction, brace when you get two guys kind of pressing one guy. I'm like, you come out to see if we can get this guy to back off saying time to kill. And they were pretty much almost chuckling at that. That's basically what they intended by implying that it's illegal, but it's not illegal. But, you know, I mean, you got people show up on your doorstep talking to you. You know, it's not, you know, the most fun thing in the world. But I'm here for the duration in Kirksville. I now am established better than I was before. And, you know, since they persuaded me, I'm an incredibly persuasive and influential person. Yes. I need to start fucking writing again and start writing more and talking more and fucking kicking some ass. So thanks to them, yeah, I got Kirksville today going now. It's flying now. I'm circulating your stuff, Carolyn Yeager's stuff, Gail stuff, who's a biblical expert. He knows a lot of the old languages. So,
well, Alex,
time to kill. You make up your own mind. I mean, I think we're well into it. They are trying to wipe us out. We're perfectly justified in fighting back. But I take responsibility for no one's behavior except my own.
Well, so, Alex, that was the thing that got me, was when you said the FBI had come to see you about time to kill. And I remember, I think you even did some time to kills on some videos that we did with Alfred. I think you mentioned it at least once, hey?
Maybe. I don't remember. I used it on Gab. That's where I used it.
I remember you mentioning it on Gab, but I think in one of our interviews you may have mentioned it, because when I do our videos, I always listen to the whole video anyway. But the thing...
Let me explain a little more. Wait, go ahead and finish your thought, and then give me a break to explain a little more the law.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you that when I heard from you that the FBI had come to visit you over Time to Kill, when I'd watched you putting Time to Kill on Gab, and like I say, I think you also mentioned it in one of our chats with Alfred, I was a little bit taken aback. When you went and said Time to Kill, I was a little bit taken aback, but I also thought, hold on, leave Alex alone. Alex has done his stuff. He knows his things. Leave him to say what he's going to say. So I didn't even think twice about even raising the issue with you. But when you said to me the FBI visited you over it, my alarm bells went off. I suddenly said to myself, good God, Alex is now in the same level as Tom Metzger and Dr. William Pierce. The FBI is moving in on you. You know, you are no longer a lightweight. You are not Andrew Anglin. You are not Renegade. You're not somebody who's like, no, 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 we don't advocate violence. Please, please, please. We never advocate violence. And so forth. You'd said something. Now, if you were a nobody, Alex, if you were an absolute nobody, and you'd said Time to Kill, I'll bet you that 1,000 people could go out and say Time to Kill, and the vast majority, nobody would get a visit from the FBI. But the fact that you got a visit immediately made me think, you know what? They are afraid that there are people listening to this guy. That this guy is not somebody who can just talk and talk and talk all kinds of shit and it means nothing. There must be something they know about you that indicates to them that you are a guy that somebody might take seriously. And they are concerned that you sending that message may influence someone. That was my assessment. That they weren't going to waste their state resources on sending somebody to you if everybody says, ah, you know that Alex Linder, he's a nutcase, he's got no credibility, he talks all kinds of shit, just ignore him all the time. I really think that they came to visit you because there's something they know about you and your people that they know that there is something here. This guy is not just somebody who can just talk all kinds of shit and everybody just ignores him. People actually listen to you, and there's a danger that somebody might act on it. Even if you don't give the instruction, even if you don't have an armed squad and you have to go and give them an order and plan a mission, there is something about you that, that has credibility. And there was another pal of mine, Alex. He's a guy that I dealt with a couple of years ago in America. He's a bit of a nutty kind of a guy, but he's hardcore. He's really hardcore National Socialist. And this guy used to say to me, everybody is a Fed. And I'd say to him, Dr. William Pierce, wasn't he a good guy? Nah, Jan, he's a Fed. And I came to realize later that the reason he's calling all these people Feds is not because they are Feds, but because the Feds are visiting them. And Dr. William Pierce, I mean, if you listen to many of his broadcasts, they are in a tone of anger. There's like a almost like a Hitlerite quality to his speeches. He's motivating people, and I can understand why they came to visit Dr. William Pierce. He was the number one enemy of the Jew at the time. So I really thought that, you know what, this puts you in a whole different category. You're not a kid with a Jewish frog. You don't have Pepe the frog. You're Alex Linder. You're VNN Forum. You're something else. And there's something about your people that's bugging them. They are bothered that this Alex Linder has got maybe some people who will listen to him.
Well, yeah, that's a valid way of looking at it. I look at it that, to me, it's not really about me so much. I mean, I add whatever my style and ability to pull together information and present it so that it makes a persuasive picture. And I can do that. If I couldn't do that, I never would have got into this in the first place. But basically, you know, if there weren't reasons for saying the things that I say, I don't think I could sell it purely myself, because I'm not a, well, I wouldn't even try, because I'm not a con man. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not selling you lottery tickets to a non-existent afterlife. I'm pointing out what's actually going on and, you know, giving my judgment and whatever. But, you know, they're basically implying that, you know, hey, you could be in danger of, you know, we don't want to see some low IQ person acting on something you said. Well, you know what? It hasn't really me, whether I exist or not. They have created a situation that is going to lead to what I'm talking about. But so it's on them. It's on their employers. And boy, they don't like being tied. They don't like being tied. Hey, we're out here defending kids and, you know, catching bank robbers and whatever. Yeah, and you're harassing people for legal political speech too. That's part of your job. But they don't like being tied. You know, we're out in the middle of the country. They don't like being tied to D.C. or some of the bad things FBI might do. And, you know, who knows how much they know being out in the field. But no one wants to take any responsibility for the bad stuff the government is doing. I mean, nevertheless, they're representatives of these people who are doing horrible stuff. And, you know, and they're so, the reason I talked to them is they were young, white. Now, maybe they're, maybe one of them hidden something else. They were young white men. So I thought, well, I owe them the same thing I owe anyone else. I want to talk to them. I don't think they probably ever heard a non-ADL approved vision of or version of U.S. history. Uh-huh. And yeah, I mean, they're completely essentially brainwashed into the progressivist vision of U.S. history, in which everybody is just simply the what I'm trying to sum up what I'm saying. The New World Order vision of raceless consumers is already alive in these people's brain. They don't even realize that there's another way of looking at it. So I start talking, I'm like, well, guys, you know, we have all these Congolese Africans here in town. You know, when did we take a vote to let them all in? We don't want – I'm like, who's looking out for my interests or whatever? And the guy literally said – he was trying to come up with something. And in this way, he's no different from any other, like, millennial, or I don't know how old he is. Not more than 35. I wouldn't say either of them. Maybe later 20s, early 30s. He's like, well, they probably – the Congolese, they probably didn't want to come here either. It was just so bad over there.
Okay.
He said that, and I'm just like, I mean, he didn't even hear what he's saying. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I'm like, who's looking out for my interests? Who's looking out for my family's interests and my people who've lived here? Who, you know, they don't even think in those terms. Everybody's just an individual. And the thing that I said that blew him away the most was I said, I don't believe in the golden rule. You know, you'd want us to, if you were under attack, you'd want us to defend you. And I'm like, well, I said, I just said, no, I don't believe in the golden rule. And he's like, well, what do you believe in? You know, dog eat dog, like Game of Thrones, that kind of thing. And I was like, no, I'm like you, Al Davis, treat others the way their behavior shows you you'd be wise to treat them. I mean, I don't assume other people are like me. They're not a lot of times. And I don't believe in that. And that he had not heard anything like that before. But the point is, to them, in their mind, everybody is just individuals. They're operating at the day-to-day level of working on crimes, most of which are real crimes. But then when they come out to see, you know, no doubt they didn't initiate this. Someone put pressure on them to do it or alerted them or something. I don't know in that regard, but then they got to get into more abstruse political theory, and it's just not what they really deal with particularly, if you see what I'm saying. So, you know, you're talking about higher level stuff when they're worried about the individual day to day. And you're saying, well, why are you know, is this village bringing in all these Africans that no one ever voted for? And this is going on all over the country, and your employers are the ones doing it, or at least enforcing it. And this is causing a problem. And you're going to have a lot of the violent stuff I'm talking about is going to happen because people aren't going to tolerate that. And you can blame me or say it has something to do with me and I should stop talking, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's independent. People are going to rise up and resist, you know? So
that's very interesting, Alex, because I mean, the one thing that seems to be missing from that discussion with you is that, you know, you're a voter. You're a citizen of the USA. As a citizen, don't you have more rights than some freaking African who's just popping into the country? You know, don't they realize that their first task of government is to defend the citizens? Isn't that what government and police and the military is all about?
But these Africans they've shipped in here are citizens. They have driver's licenses. They have all the papers.
Oh, goodness.
And so they actually have now. These are, you know, they can call them, I don't know what they originally come in under. They could be just plain called refugees or resettled somehow. They have all their papers. They're absolutely legally. In fact, they're privileged more than people who've been living here 150 years in this area where my ancestors were.
Wow.
So they just don't feel any. I think one of them had a little more understanding of what I was saying than the other one, but that's just a guess. But it's just total new world order. People exist as individuals. Everyone has the same rights, except, you know, all this shit is anti-white on top of it. You're an individual, except when it comes to being white, and then it's okay to discriminate against you and in favor of, you know, all the usual class stuff, and against the white, against the normal, against the man. That's all cool. And, you know.
So what kinds of things were they saying to you, or were they reading to you, or showing you printouts? Did they leave any printouts with you?
No, they had a couple of printouts with them, and they showed me one at a point, but I think it was something on my forum that I'd said on Gab, hence what I said earlier. But so to me, it was clear that they're not paying attention to this stuff. Someone higher up directed them to go and see what was going on. And they want, you got to remember also, another reason is they never actually, Glenn Miller,
yeah,
who killed the three people at the Jewish Center over in Kansas City. Now, the media really played up that I was his good buddy and connected to him and all that. So we discussed that a little bit. But the FBI never even came to me during that whole thing. And I thought they might, just because it might have looked on the internet like there's a connection. But as I told these guys, you know, the media lies so much. I'm like, he and I talked probably two times on the phone over 10 years. Yeah, we worked on the paper and whatever. But I'm like, he lived at the opposite end of the state, 5 hours away. I met him in person like once seriously, and then I saw him at like one rally for a couple of minutes, but I didn't know him. So, and I said, if he'd even talked to me, he probably would not have done what he did. But, you know, they were more or less trying to see, I think also one of their goals was to see if I was about to go off and kill a bunch of people.
Really? Really? You?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Tell me more.
Well, they're thinking, and this is quite right on their part, they're trying to discern, do you have the view that basically Miller did have, that you're a coward or your life is invalidated if you don't go out and kill a whole bunch of people? Okay. But I don't think like that. So I'm not someone – I said I might do it, but – it would be targeted, and I would have to get a lot of bang for buck. And I don't really, you know, it's very difficult to do shit nowadays. And I don't, you know, just mass shooting people. No way. I'm very much against that, but you know,
nice.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a freaking atomic weapon and could take out DC or something, fuck yeah, I'd do it. Better believe I do.
Okay, Alex, now you you and I think alike. You know, I've talked,
and I mean, I said that overtly to them. I said, yeah, you're absolutely right. There, it is possible. I said, I've only been alive once. I don't know exactly what's going to do. I don't have specific plans to kill anybody, but you know what? It's absolutely legitimate right now. I may well do it. But you know,
that's
what the fuck. I'm like, I'm not going to be, I won't talk to anyone. I won't write anything down. If I just fucking do it, I'll do it. It's unlikely it's going to be here. It won't affect you, but this is not a fucking game. I mean, you, and they don't like saying your employers, I'm not, obviously you're drawing a paycheck from these assholes who are creating these anti-white circumstances. So you may be a nice guy. You may not be, you know, technically you're not setting the policies or whatever, but by God, you know, you're part of that whole machine. And, you know, they don't like basically being associated with ratty stuff there. You know, I didn't even bring up because I didn't think about it, but the example of Glenn Miller, I just mentioned, FBI people led him and his white groups, his Klan groups, into an ambush intending them to be killed in Greensboro. I think it was 83, but the Klan was better, and they ended up shooting the communists that the FBI set them up to be murdered by. So that would have been a perfect example to bring it up. It didn't cross my mind.
Tell me, this is something I've not heard of, Alex. Are you saying?
Well, we don't want to get into that. You do the research on your own. This is old, old stuff. Greensboro, North Carolina. Remember, Rounder, Glenn Miller, was from North Carolina. And some of these people, even ostensibly on our side, are trying to blame me for Miller's act and saying he was doing it to play up to me, which is completely absurd. He was considerably older than I am, and he knew the truth about the Jews long before I was ever involved with him. And he was in the army, so he had the background and knew this stuff. But still, when he shot the Jew Community Center, I explained to them, you know, because I went to his, not his trial, but his sentencing and testified for his character. You know, he was very old and sick. He couldn't move much. That's more or less why he did what he did. He wasn't thinking particularly clearly. I don't mean he's insane. He intended to do something and tried to do it. He just physically couldn't really do it. And if he were younger, I think he would have chosen a different target. But what I'm telling you is there was a shootout between the Klan and the communists back in 1983 in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Rounder, and I believe this is in his book, A White Man Speaks Out, he talks about all this. The FBI set him up, and his guys, they had their cars going in where they were going to hold a rally. Rounder would create these rallies. This is why he got kicked out of the South after he got out of jail, because they didn't want him organizing because he was so effective. They were going to hold a rally there, and somehow they had an informant. The FBI had somehow got an informant in with them. And they had set them up to go in a certain place where basically the communists were going to open fire on them and hopefully kill some of them. But and there was a firefight, and the Klan won and killed, I don't know how many, three or four commies. It's actually – some of that is actually video of it, people shooting at each other real close. So that would have been a perfect example to say, you know, the FBI is no joke, and they do a lot of dirty tricks. And, you know, you got to be careful of them. But I didn't think of it at the time. But, yeah, there's an example of the stuff they do, you know. And I said to them, I'm like, look, a lot of what you do is legitimate. You know, you track down bank robbers across state lines. That's legitimate. They said they did a lot of work related to kids, but I don't really know what exactly that is. But anyway, they wanted to see where I was coming from. I wanted to see where they were coming from. And basically what I took away is it's essentially like dealing with anyone that age. They've gone to public school. They've heard the false, fake Jewish narrative history of the U.S., which is a progressive unfolding. And they even use this tactic a little bit. Like he asked me, like, what time would you have rather been alive in the U.S.?
Uh-huh.
Right. And I said, well, probably about 1830. I said, but then again, my body's not that great. So I probably would have died from various medical problems. So I said, who knows? But I said, I don't like large consolidated government. I like it. But their point is, like, what they've been taught is you're just a white male who resents others having access to the same chances and opportunities you are. And you want to roll back the clock to the bad old days. That's the purpose of that question, which I suspect they've been trained to ask of people who think the way we do. And this is the value in talking about it. People know how they are. So the first thing I want to get across, when they come to you, they're going to have a little gambit. You're going to be maybe a little overwhelmed. You're going to be a little frightened or a little apprehensive. You may be tempted to blurt things out, but you don't do that. You either don't talk to them at all or just say, I have nothing to say, as Metzger would always say.
Yes.
And that's 100% defensible. That's completely right. The only reason I talk to them is because anytime you talk to them, you're giving them stuff they can use to figure out your true motive and set you up later legally for a crime. But in my particular case, I wanted to see where they were coming from, and also – I didn't say anything to them. I say the same thing to all people. So there's nothing I've said, like, privately that is not what I would type on Gab under my real name.
Yes.
So there's no true hidden me to discover that's behind all the external public stuff. I've tried to be of a piece. Now, there are things I have not talked about that are a little – they're tangentially politically related, but I decided that I'm going to write about them in some years, and I said I'm going to call it the Jewing of the Linders and my family, and examine it in a sort of biopsy sort of way, look at the effects they had on the minds of the different members of my family.
Oh, wow. The Jewing of the Linders. That would sound like something that I could do about my own family. Because
yeah, everybody. That's the point, is mine is just one family. Almost any family could see parallels to mine. It's
absolutely
not that mine is special. It's that mine is average.
Absolutely.
Mine is typical. More or less typical. But yeah, so I wanted to see. So clearly the FBI agents, whether it's simply from public schools, they also told me something I didn't know. I always thought they all had to be lawyers or accountants, and they said that's not the case. So who knows? But so that one tactic, they come up, you know why we're here. You know why we're here. They will, I think, often start with some version of that so that you more or less agree, like, yeah, I've gone too far. I've gone over the line. Yeah, I understand. Of course you're here. That's what they're trying to induce. Well, that's when you got to be real slow and say, no, I don't know why you're here. You know, if you're not arresting me, there's no crime. Why are you here? I didn't know you invest. You know, you can fight back along those lines, but be careful and be straight, and then say, well, you know, you're saying, and then they'll come out with, well, you're saying, you know, all this about, let's talk about it. Well, what's going on here? And then you can say, well, that's how you characterize it like that. Keep saying that is how I approached it. Said I wouldn't describe it like that. That's how you characterize it.
Nice.
Said you're the ones I've always believed very un-Aryan-like, because Aryans, or at least Anglos, are very much never doubt anyone's motive, you know, overlook their social flaws. That's an Anglo-cultural thing, but the way the Jews do it is more effective, especially in politics. You, accusatory. Your employers are doing this. The people paying you, the people you work for, make it direct personal with them. I find that is a very – it may get them to dislike you, but goddamn, I mean, they have to accept it because it's true. Nice. You, and then the one guy even – well, I don't – you know, I spend all my – we don't spend our time dealing. We're dealing with kids, and I'm like, that's great, but from my point of view – you're attached to these people who are doing shit I don't like. That's damaging my kids, my family, my entire race's existence by the stuff your employer is doing. So let's not act like, you know, when you're drawing a paycheck from them, et cetera, et cetera. You know, let's not act like that's fucking legitimate, or that I can't be concerned about that. You know, they want to be treated as an individual, but essentially what I'm trying to say is they are – I don't like to use the term brainwashed. That probably ought to be reserved for stuff that is literally – not literally, but that is actual brainwashing techniques straight on like the communists used to do. But the point is maybe let's say most people don't have too much imagination. They may even be smart, but they can't think of anything other than what they've heard, and all they have heard is this Jew-concocted fake history of the U.S. And sure. One of the techniques – and this I do believe they're specifically taught – is to say to white men, well, you just – not to say it, but to argue – to use that question like, what time in the U.S. would you rather have been – existed or lived? And I really believe that's the progressive, oh, well, you just don't want minorities and women having access to the same – opportunities you do. So that's definitely a tack they'll take with white nationalists.
Well, Alex, that thing that you say there, that sounds, I mean, that's not criminal in any way. That's a political, that's like a political angle, a political social angle that they're coming at you with. You know, what is that their business? But the one thing I want to mention, you are saying that when they came to you, they said to you, you know why we're here. I think that is a bit
they,
of...
They start with that, and I suspect they start with that often for the reasons I said.
I'd like to add, because I think it's also intimidatory, as well as the fact that most people would be afraid and jittery, and they might say things that the FBI aren't aware of. So you might blab something and they're like, ah, okay, we didn't know this. That's not actually it or whatever. But
they could have an ulterior motive. They could say like, hey, we know you're living in a different place. We want to let you know that we know exactly what's going on with you. Could be any number of ulterior motives that aren't the real reason they're showing up. You never know.
I think it's a combination of them. And
most likely,
that,
yeah.
That thing that you mentioned about pointing at them, very, very nice. Very nice. Where you're talking to them and you are saying you, your employer, you. It reminds me of a guy that I interviewed from Zimbabwe, a Portuguese guy, Johnny Rodriguez. And Johnny, I'm afraid he's got terminal cancer, and I'd wanted to do more interviews with him. He fled Zimbabwe and he's now in Portugal, and he's got stage 5 cancer. So I think his time is pretty much up, which is sad because he did a lot of good stuff and he spoke about a lot of things that nobody else dared to. But Johnny in Portugal, when I did an interview with him about Africa and the blacks and the mindset of blacks, he said to me, you know, the blacks always have this saying in Zimbabwe, when you want to accuse them of something, then the blacks always say, I am not the one. I am not the one. In other words, I'm innocent. It's not me that did it. I'm not responsible. And, you know, that's a childish African kind of thing. It's one of the key reasons why Africa is the total hellhole that it is because nobody's taking responsibility. And as I see it, guys like you and me and Alfred and others, we are ones who are trying to be serious and take responsibility. We're actually trying to be serious. You know, the Jews are meanwhile trying to turn everybody into a hippie and get them on drugs or do something else. Anything to get whites away from seriousness. But they, you know, hear these people come after you because you're serious. Yet if you are to do democracy properly, everybody is supposed to be serious. You should be serious. Here in Africa, where the people aren't serious, that's why it's a mess. That's why nobody takes responsibility. Nobody is punished and that sort of thing. There was something else I wanted to mention, but it'll come to me again.
Well, one thing is we're continually playing these games and non-games of guilt by association. So they're implying I'm responsible if some low IQ 18-year-old shoots up, say, a media institution because I've said something like that online. So I'm responsible, and they're kind of implying they might come after me, kind of implying I should – they're saying I should consult a lawyer because what I'm saying is right on the line of legality, and it's not. And that's one other thing I wanted to add. I've said this before, but legally, you're entitled to go even farther than I go.
Really?
Legally, you're – let me just describe it, and then we'll get back to where we are. But legally, you can say X should be X, specific person should be assassinated. That's legal to say under the First Amendment.
Whoa.
But if you start saying that kind of thing – they absolutely will go after you and concoct. I don't care who you are. They can concoct something to find you guilty and lock you up. So as a practical matter, you can't really say that. But you know what? Talking about – and it's all done under this vague incitement. Now, see, there's the legal meaning of incitement in the U.S., which is very strict. Now, what I said is legal. What's illegal in speech – is standing in front of people, that there's an imminence. You have to be imminent ability to cause harm. So you're standing in front of a mob of, say, 400 people, and you tell them to kill some guy who's also right there or to burn down a building or whatever. You are inciting violence. That's illegal.
Okay.
So you'll notice that over the internet, that the internet doesn't even apply because imminence is impossible. So in my view, which seems to be correct, there can't be any such thing as incitement over the internet. But – and they even agreed with me on this. At least one of them did. I pointed out – I'm like, wow, you know, you talk about – you're kind of implying like what I'm saying is on the line of incitement. But you had that nigger's father down in Ferguson where all those black riots were, stand up in front of that mob. And I forget if he said to kill someone or I think he said go burn down all the buildings – right in front of a mob. I'm like, that is absolutely textbook incitement, and you did nothing. He freaking even agreed with me on that.
Wow, nice.
So I mean, this stuff, there's the law, there's how it's been interpreted. Brandenburg is the relevant case. There's how it's been interpreted for decades, but constantly the media is so hostile that legal incitement and the way the Jew-controlled media and the left use the term are two different things. And the way the Jew-controlled left uses the term, they're trying to basically say anyone who dares speak out against them at all is advocating violence, and that's illegal, and they should be locked up. And we see in the real world, maybe not incitement, but violence. If you defend yourself against their own people, like the people in Charlottesville, they just got 6-8 years in prison for defending themselves successfully from a black who attacked their friend, right?
Wow.
So okay. So the law is – if the law is properly applied, then I and most of us have nothing to worry about. But the left is always trying to stretch it to throw more and more – to change it, to fudge it, and to change it to make essentially anything pro-white or right-wing illegal.
Yes.
And they act like it's illegal. Before, this is a point Pierce always used to make. They always act like the law they want that's not in place already is in place. So they act when you put out white brochures and white newspapers like me and Miller and other, our people used to do. They act like it's illegal to distribute pro-white newspapers, even though it's totally legal. They act like the law or the situation they desire already exists, kind of like a political version of fake it till you make it.
Okay, that sounds very Jew-like and leftist and commie.
Yeah, but see, the FBI are not media. The FBI are quasi-legal police, and in this instance, operating as political police, leveraging pressure against someone who's making legal statements on the internet.
Yes.
Right? So they're trying to, regardless of what they intend, they're pressuring legal speech. Right? No crime has been committed, but they're almost yet implying that the crime has been committed or that it might be committed if information that some or views that someone has put forward that are legal in themselves motivate someone to act. But how do you know they motivated someone to act? And even if they did, it's someone else's responsibility to take responsibility for his own behavior, not mine. But
yeah.
Yet when you tax them with the illegal, criminal, murderous behavior of their own employer, the person writing them checks, they get angry about that. At least one of them did. They don't like being tied to their own employer more than I don't like being tied. You know, it's the same as me. I don't like being tied to someone who read what I said because I can't take responsibility for anyone's actions but my own.
Alex, that is really good. The way you handled it is really impressive. There's something I want to tell you. I've got a pal.
Who knows? There's different ways to look at it. Metzger would say I'm an absolute fool for talking to them when I didn't have to. That would be Metzger's view.
I know Tom. I know Tom personally, and he would say that. In fact, he said that in a chat that we had. He said, if the FBI comes to you, just say to them, I have nothing to say, that's that. And his view was, they are just trying to find ways to set you up. But you played a very interesting psychological game, Alex. You played a really interesting psychological game. And I have no problem with it. I think it's a great tactic.
I'm not saying that my way is right. I'm saying I chose to act like this in order to, because I intend to become, there's a lot of personal stuff I'm not going to talk about, but I am in a better position now than I've been in 10 years for a number of reasons. And yet I have family related stuff that I'm not going to talk about because of my personal code. But yet it does pertain to all this. It will eventually come out. But for whatever reason, I'm left in a position where I have a pretty good base. I'm restarting the Kirksville Today blog. And one of my first things, I'm going out. I went to a local roots festival. And I'm talking to these people reporting. I mean, I even talked to – I'm going to be more involved in the community than I have been. And that's part of the reason – that I did want to talk to them and just see what they looked like and see what they had to say and look them in the eye. And, you know, they wanted to legitimately, I suppose, they want to understand where I'm coming from. If someone's saying it's time to kill, they want to try to learn about that a little. Okay, fine, fair enough. I say, well, I say that and I'm not kidding about it and I might do it myself. And, you know, the reason is, this is what your employer and the rest of the people in D.C. have created. I perceive it as hostile to me, hostile to my kids, hostile to all of my relatives, hostile to the entire goddamn race I belong to. And, yeah, I want it stopped, ended, and gone. Absolutely. So I said, you know, I just said, look, I think we understand each other here, but these are simply – there's no way to resolve it. There's no way to resolve it because – I can't change what I'm saying while you're acting like this. You don't want to be associated with your employer because you think you're a good guy. You think you're doing good stuff. And, you know, he even asked me openly at one point, and I don't know, you know, he's a little younger, but maybe he's just trying to, you know, play me out. Well, you know, well, what, how should I look at it? What should I do? I'm like, I know exactly what ends I'm serving. I know exactly what I'm doing and why. And I just think you ought to really think, are you actually serving the ends that you think you are?
Alex, I think that was a fabulous, straight, one-on-one, white male to white male conversation. I think it's great. Really, I just can't see anything wrong with what you did.
But,
you know,
but Jan, if I could interrupt you, I didn't give him a good enough answer. That was funny because the other one just kind of laughed because I think he had a little. He's like, well, what can he say? You should quit the FBI and become a white nationalist. He kind of laughed like that. But I mean, I wasn't fully happy with my answer because everything you do is wrong, you know. But that's basically what I'm saying. But so I said, you know what? That's part of the reason they really were playing up. You know, you're super influential and popular, and people listen to you. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they should. It's earned. What I say is correct. It's based on a lot of reading, a lot of experience. It's thought out. I have never really retracted anything I've said because I think about it before I say it. And it just led me to think I should, you know, I'll get Kirksville. So thanks to the FBI visit, I've got Kirksville today going and I'm writing more than I was. And yeah, so that's got to be the upshot of it. You know, I mean, I don't freaking like the talking about killing people and all that stuff. It's not. I said to them, you know, I'm descended from basically pretty calm, stable people, German farmers, and maybe I'm a little more radical than most of them, but I'm not really all that different. And I'm saying, this type of person, you've created the circumstances that has led to where people are talking like this, right? I'm trying to get them to just, there's a problem here, right? There's a problem here. It's not going to go away. I'm not going to stop talking about it or saying what I'm saying. And I'm just really, all I can kind of do is try to get them to see maybe what they are doing and their function in a different light. And I guess that is kind of why I talk to them. So, I understand I'm giving them information about myself, but that's not wholly bad. I don't want them thinking like, oh, my life is not valid unless I run off and kill a bunch of people. I don't want them thinking I'm not that type. I don't think that way at all. You understand?
And I really like the way you said you're a guy who, if you're going to do something, you're going to want a lot of bang for your buck. Because
exactly,
Alex,
man. I'm not throwing away my life cheap.
Alex, I'm exactly the same as you. I'm exactly the same as you on that. It's something I've thought about many times. I've sat and thought to myself, I've said to myself, you know, shouldn't a person go and assassinate that guy, you know? Shouldn't I like think of a plan to go and kill that guy? And then I think to myself, but hold on, that's some stupid black fuck, and I'm gonna give my life up for him. You know, I'm gonna waste my life on killing him. And what is the end result gonna be? In what way is that going to improve our situation? And then I think, nah, that's bullshit. I'm not interested in that. But
I think there's a learning curve to everything. I'd be pretty damn arrogant if I assume I can get some kind of serious high level violent act off in the first place without the background or, you know, really being in the area or anything like that. It's not as easy as it freaking looks.
Absolutely.
Now, there may be other people who have military background who are in position who that's a much more plausible thing for them. For me, probably the best effect I can have really is to write and speak more, I guess. It just became frustrating. Mainly I was just ill for many years. But you repeat the same thing 500 times. Well, maybe it takes 1,000 or 2,000 times. I don't know. But anyway, they kind of kickstarted me back to writing more, I guess.
That's excellent. But, so, Alex, did they – I just want you to repeat. They did say to you that you are influential. They said that to you.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact words they were, but yeah, they're like, you know, people listen to you. You're you know, persuasive, and you influence people. You're someone, you know, yeah, exactly what you said, that stuff. But, you know,
bingo.
They're always going to build you up and all that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not particularly susceptible to flattery. I like hearing it as much as anyone, but I would like to think people listen to what I say, but I mean, they're using that to say that I'm legally responsible if I say that it's worth killing over. So I'm going to take responsibility if someone else. Okay. If you, I mean, really, and another reason I talk to them, it doesn't matter. They could still do that. I've said enough that if they want to go that route of holding me responsible for what someone else decides to do without my knowledge, if they want to go that route, they can do it. And there's not much I can do about it. I'm not going to stop saying what I say. But, you know, they let you know that they're aware of what you're doing. And, you know.
Well, Alex.
It is, like you said, they have multiple messages saying, like, hey, we know where you are physically. We know what you're saying. Just have that in your mind, buddy.
Yeah.
Could just be that.
There's a bunch of things. And, Alex. Yeah. You know, in terms of you saying things and setting you up, essentially that would be a Matt Hale kind of a trick, you know.
Yes, they do that. But the thing is, I don't have a group. I'm not super duper social. They can try to honeypot you with women. That's what Pierce said they tried to do to him. One of the things.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, women.
Yeah, you always got to be aware of that. But on the other hand, I am aware of it. You know, I'm careful with who I deal with, and I don't, you know, politically. Yeah, you got to be super careful, and yeah, they absolutely do try to create little cells and plots, and so you start getting people who want to meet you out of nowhere, and you don't know who they are. Yeah, you got to wonder about that.
Alex, now you're talking, sorry for interrupting you, but now you're talking the kind of stuff that I also didn't really know and appreciate before I went into political stuff. It was only, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to say my say and, you know, let's see how it goes. What I was never prepared for was how devious it is, how weird it becomes, and you know, Alex, here in Africa, where the black commies were well-trained, Alex, and especially in Zimbabwe, I've spoken to many whites and blacks from Zimbabwe. And Alex, when the commies want to destroy people, even, and this includes when the blacks want to destroy other blacks, there are a set of ways in which they go about checking you out psychologically to see what it is that you're going to fall for. And these blacks know, for example, like these intelligence departments, when these commies want to wipe somebody out, they go and they check out the guy's habits and they say, this guy, he likes to drink a lot. Alcohol is his weakness. That guy, his weakness is women, okay? So we'll get him with women. And they basically go and check you out psychologically, find your weakest point, and then they try and nab you on that. There was even an instance where a black Christian priest was set up with a prostitute and cameras and everything, and then the next thing you know is, boom, there he is, filmed and everything in the act, and off you go. That is the kind of games that these scum play. But what I wanted to mention to you, and I apologize for interrupting, but what I wanted to mention to you was a South African friend of mine who was a good supporter of mine and who lives in Europe. He said to me, he explained a couple of things to me from the legal point of view about the differences between Britain, Europe, and the USA. And he said that the way it works is that in the UK and Europe, if the police or let's call it the legal system, if the legal system has been spying on you and they've got data on you and they have strong enough reason to believe that you're about to commit something or you're in the state where you could easily go and commit something, let's say relatively soon, they see you're a guy, you're dicey, you are a danger to society, then the way the legal system in Europe and Britain works is that they can just come and nab you. They can come and grab you. You don't have to commit the crime. They just need enough reasonable cause and they can put you away. And he said to me, that is not the case in America. In America, you have to actually commit the crime. But now the way that American law enforcement or jury and the political elite have managed to twist things is that they can't wait for you to actually kill someone. So now what they're trying to do is they are trying to rather entrap you. And so they try to rather set you up so that you then, you know, once you're part of a setup and a plot, then they can nab you, because then everybody around you is working for the government. And I'll tell you something. I met an old Boer guy some years ago who spent a couple of years in jail. And I said he was in jail for right-wing activities. So he spent 2 years in jail. So I said to him, so how did you end up in jail? He said to me, you know what happened? I was part of this group and we would meet every week or every month, and we'd talk about the situation in South Africa and we'd discuss the things and you know, we'd get angry and upset, but we just talk about things. And he said, this is what we did. And he said, one day, one of the guys in our group suddenly said, you know what? Let's stop all this talking bullshit. Let's do something. You know, cut out the talking. Let's do something. And that guy then got the guys to start thinking and plotting. And when they were arrested, that guy was a police agent. He came and he set them up. He pushed them. He set them up, and then they could nab them. And they do that in South Africa a lot. I've heard of other guys also where the cops come, they infiltrate you, they then incite you to do something, and then just when you're about to do it, everybody gets arrested, and you find that all the guys are actually working for the police.
Yeah, what you described is how they do it in the U.S. They've done it that way for decades, because right-wing people are these kind of patriotard types. They're super impressed by anyone with a loud, deep voice and military bearing, and they get set up. So, yeah, they find angry people who look like they don't have emotional control. We had a guy, I'm almost sure this is what happened, on my forum, who was ex-Army, who actually looked like Tim McVeigh. And somehow he got busted for leaving a bomb at like an MLK Day parade in Seattle, I think it was, years ago. And he had contributed to our paper, our newspaper that Rounder put out. And yeah, he's doing like 30 years.
Whoa.
I forget his name. But I mean, he had expressed basically volatile tendencies. You could see someone on the left or with the FBI looking over his post and thinking, this is a guy we can set up. And I suspect that's what happened in his case. So anytime you're going to express stuff like, I'm about to kill people or stuff like that, yeah, you're going to get them sniffing around. What are they called? The SS in the U.S. that protects the president. You can't make any kind of a joke about anything like that here. You'll get investigated. We had a guy, he didn't even make a comment. Someone else falsely attributed a comment like that to him, and he had the Secret Service show up and question him on it. This was many years ago when VNN was going strong, and he was one of our writers. Vic Wolzek was his name, actually the number two writer, you know, along with me. someone else claimed that he made some freaking threat or something. So that stuff is super serious. Now, even saying that X should be assassinated, who's not the president, who's someone else, even saying that is legal, it's still, in my view, as a practical matter, very unwise to say.
And
so,
Alex,
you know, if you can't figure out like who the oppressors are and who are the people who are causing all this, I mean, you're basically an idiot. You don't. So the legal freedom's there, but you don't need to be giving specific names, because any idiot can see who the bad guys are. Well, you got to know the law, and you have to know the practical reality. And the left keeps trying to, like I just went through explaining, they keep trying to push it farther and farther, or change people's perception so they think it's been pushed farther and farther, until really no one is allowed to say anything except commie positive stuff, anti-white stuff. That's what they want. I mean, we see that right now. They're trying to drive all non-leftist stuff off the internet in the U.S.
Absolutely. And Alex, on this topic of the hypocrisy, I think it was just yesterday on Twitter. I think it was on Twitter. I'm not sure if it was Twitter or Gab. I forget. I think almost it was Twitter. Somebody had a screenshot of a posting on the social media by a Antifa kind of a guy, one of these white leftist scum. And the guy actually wrote, he said, this place in Oregon is a good place to kill lots of whites. He wrote, it's a good place to kill lots of whites. And and nothing happens to them. I bet you.
No, it's complete double standard, because the media has their back. And the courts, the Jews have had control of the legal education system for so long that the courts are full of people who think the way they do, or the way they want them to think, or at least are afraid to go against them. So that, as a practical matter, they can say stuff like that, that if we said it, even though that's not even technically illegal to say, but if we said it, you might well find that theory tested.
Yeah.
If you illegally claim that you were trying to incite violence. That's why you got to, as a practical matter, be careful about that stuff.
Well, that's the kind of thing that in a very roundabout way, even in a very twisted way, got Matt Hale, a 30 or 40 year jail sentence.
Yeah, and that's a typical example of where they insinuate, they look around, like you said, what do you need? You like sniffing the powder? You like dipping your beak in the booze? You like some of that there, pussy boy? You know, what's your vice? What can I do for you? You know, I like a lot of free baseball tickets, buddy. You know, they find out where you live. Oh, you got a fascination with fire and bombs and guns. Hey, you ever see one of these, bro? Yeah, man, my friend stole this off an army base, man. Want to come see it? Yeah, we could fucking kill a lot of them niggers with this, huh? You know, And a lot of these people don't see this shit coming because they're fucking oblivious. That's how they do it. That's exactly how they do it.
Well, Alex, that is very interesting. And, you know, it's interesting that they spoke to you. You say they said to you that you were basically a resentful white, resentful of the bad old days.
No, I didn't say that. What I said was, I believe they have been... Because this is not something they invented, this approach, this line of argument, if you will, this, oh, you white men just resent. And remember, the guy saying this is white himself. They don't say it overtly like that, but that's the attitude that underlies that line of argument, that they're trying to evoke that, oh, you're just bitter that now minorities and women have an equal playing field, and now you can't be white mediocre and huge success. You actually have to work for it. That's that leftist line of argument. The fact that he is using that line of argument tells me that he is probably trained in that to some extent.
Okay. Because the other point I'm sure you could have brought home to them is, you know, you're also a white male. You're in the same situation I'm in. And Alex, you never know.
I did bring out a little of that, because I talked about affirmative action and all that. We talked a couple hours. I mean, I'm like, you know, they're discriminating against whites. I'm like, who's looking out? like even yours, you know, you want to be promoted. I mean, this is another reason I talked to them is, like I said, when I was talking to Kayla, I mean, I throw out a bunch of stuff, a fire hose, way, way, way too much information, but I'm hoping that some of it will stick in their heads. And as they go through life, if they're a little younger and they start seeing more situations and, oh yeah, this is what that dude was talking about, you know, because I'm telling you, they've never heard the other point of view. I really believe they have not heard the other point of view.
And Alex, now I'm going to tell you something else. In my study of propaganda, I looked a lot, especially when I wrote my book, Government by Deception, I looked a lot into propaganda and psychological warfare from military and political angles. And I want to tell you something that is key to what you've just done here, is they said that the basic conclusion that comes out of it is that if people are inundated with a message, they need to be inundated with that message about 90% of the time in order for them to believe it and assimilate it and go with it as fact. But if you come and you oppose that message even 10% of the time, even just a little bit of the counter argument, you will find that that little bit of counter argument has a massive effect on breaking that wave of incoming stuff. There are certain, you know, the Jew can only get away with all his Jew junk because he pours it on at such a pace. If he slows down even a little bit, there will be people who will start questioning it. And if there's even a tiny stream that runs counter to it, that can actually screw it up a lot. And this is where I think Tom Metzger said something to me the other day. He said that a lot of the Hollywood stuff that comes and and attacks the Germans and brings out the Holocaust, he reckoned it came as a result of revisionism. But revisionism has got a small audience and Hollywood's got a massive audience. And so he kind of tied the two together. Now, if he's correct in that, which I suspect he is, then I reckon the Jew knows very well that if he doesn't keep drowning people in that same narrative, oh, those evil Nazis, they just wanted to kill Jews, they wanted to kill everybody, and if they don't keep drowning people in that, that little counter current coming from the revisionists can totally destroy what the Jew is doing. So the Jew has to up his game, not just a little bit. He's got to up it massively in order to still try and keep a lid on this. And even then, he's got a problem. That is why I believe that they're going so crazy trying to shut everyone down. Because the Jew has realized that this tiny little counter current coming from the alt-right, coming from these revisionists and these others, that this little thing could catch fire and turn the whole of society around. And the Jew knows it. That's why he's got to go into overdrive. And even that overdrive itself has its limits in terms of time.
Well, yeah, that's why they're trying to shut down the internet.
Yeah.
Because that's the only place where people can talk to each other. And I'll give you a perfect example. In Chemnitz in Germany, that's former East Germany, there's still big statues of Karl Marx there, but they had some Syrian apparently, or a couple of non-Germans stabbed a German to death. And the German people over there are going nuts, and hundreds or thousands of them are out in the street. Screaming and yelling, and you see all the videos. See, they don't want people to know about any of this kind of thing. And so, yeah, they got Sunday school and Monday school and the politicians all preaching the same line that diversity is our greatest strength and whiteness is evil. And they don't want anyone on the internet responding to them. But when the Daily Mail writes a story about what's going on in Germany and they show you all the pictures, look at the comments below the story. Last night, there were multiple that had like 5,500 essentially pro-white, pro-German, pro-demonstrator, and like 100 against it. So this means you could run a race war right now and most of the white people would choose the white side. It means that the Jews and the people who serve them, like Merkel, she's not the real power. They are a very tiny scrum desperately pulling in these coloreds around them. And if we understood our own power, we can absolutely crush them. And they are afraid of it.
Alex, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. The Jew is a big bullshitter. And one of the biggest bullshit stories is, oh, you are alone. Nobody else is like you. Somebody did a meme about it that I put on my website several months ago where they said, you know, you are alone. And then they had a picture of one of Adolf Hitler's rallies. And you just see what must be hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes, that's I've seen that graphic. It's very effective. That's like there at Nuremberg where they got the huge columns, like 100,000 people. Yeah, I mean, for example, the NEA, you know, a Jew-dominated institution in America where they – for the teachers' union – they are taught to tell any parent who complains about some of their leftism, well, you're the only one who said anything.
Yes. Bullshit. It's
called, again, McDonald refers to this spiral of silence where you have your view, which is like a normal white view, but you think you're the only one. So you shut up because you don't hear any resound. You don't hear any echo from anywhere else because it's suppressed. But in fact, your view is the majority view. That's part of the benefit of controlling the mass media is you can persuade people that you may have doubts, but your neighbor is totally down with us. So the actual majority view can't get out and can't be known as the majority view because of the loud, loud, endless waves of garbage coming from the top. Yeah, the spiral of silence is what they called it academically when they studied it. But
brilliant.
Yeah, so the Jews have watched the internet grow for, 20 years now. And they finally realized, we got to shut it down. And they've been working on that. I think it did surprise them originally how fast it spread and how much it allowed people to get around their propaganda. But now they're trying to shut it down. And meanwhile, a new sort of internet level technology has taken off with a cryptocurrency that can upend their financial power in theory, the way the internet could in theory upend their media.
Yeah.
But yet it has upended their old school media, their old print media, but they've reestablished themselves as hegemons on the internet with the social media, which are all Jew owned or Jew controlled. Jack Dorsey's not a Jew. He's a queer Irish Catholic from St. Louis, the guy who founded Twitter. But Twitter is certainly controlled by the same mentality that controls the ones that are formerly Jew-created and Jew-owned, or at least Jew-stolen, like Facebook and Google.
Yeah, Alex, if the Jew sees something and the Jew sees this thing is rocking, he gets in there fast. I picked that up from my chats to my Jewish pal here in South Africa that he would go and he'd start boasting about all the successful big things in the world, and then he'd start citing all the Jews that are in there, boasting about that. And I came to realize that if the Jew didn't create it, and many times they don't even create the stuff that really works, then the Jew sees, that's successful. We got to get in there. They're busy running after our success like crazy. And we don't even fully realize our power and our success. So, Alex, in terms of
Jews realize what exactly can be done with something. They don't usually create it themselves, but they see immediately like what use could be put to Edison's, phonograph or to his motion picture machine. oh, what could we do with the movies? Because they think as a tribe and they think about controlling others and influencing them, they see what could be done with, like, Facebook. The Winklevoss came up with this. Aryan people at Harvard came up with this. Zuckerberg quickly sees, well, shit, I know what I can do with that that's, you know, different and better, and basically steal the basic idea. And because they have the money and the network already in place, it has this huge multiplier effect that, like, you or I would have to – we don't have a tribal network of people who's sitting there ready to fund us that we're constantly talking to and breeding with and thinking about. Yeah. We're just random isolated individuals compared to Jews. So they have – essentially nepotism is their thing. They're standing there. They have the more money than anyone else. They can fund whatever they want that's going to serve their tribe. And after a while, there's such a ratchet effect. They get so good at it that it's very hard to displace them.
Well, Alex, in the Great Jewish Mosque, and I did some follow-ons on this, and I also made some new discoveries, but I was going through the Great Jewish Mosque again. And in the Great Jewish Mosque, one of the arguments made by the guy who wrote it was that the Jews discovered the power of propaganda a long time ago. And he even gives it a date. He says that about 400 years before Christ, the Jews began what he calls the mosque. And that is when the Jews basically went on a Jew-wide global propaganda campaign to reinvent themselves as an old people. They basically created new mythologies for themselves. And he gave examples showing that the Jews were busy with forgery. And I don't know if you know this, Alex, but this has been proven by archaeologists and academics. They can prove that there are certain Jewish forgeries that were very influential in the time, even before Christianity, before Jesus. And one of the examples cited is a thing called the Letter of Aristeas. I don't know if you've come across that. But
no, I have not.
The Letter of Aristeas is a letter that was written by somebody pretending to be a important, I can't remember the detail, but I think it's almost something like a king. Some king took some interest in Judaism, and he was very impressed with it. And the Letter of Aristeas, if you go and look it up, you will find that scholars have studied this thing in great detail. And as far back, now the Great Jewish Mosque was written in the 1930s, about 1935. And the book came out in 1936. Now, back then, that guy was already saying that there are proven forgeries, that academics then already could cite actual examples from ancient history where they could show that Jews were forging things back then. And one of the places where they were very active, can you believe, is the library at Alexandria. And anyway, he cited the Letter of Aristeas, and if you go and look up the Letter of Aristeas, you'll see that in the 1950s, most scholars agreed, most academics at university agreed that the Letter of Aristeas is a Jewish forgery, that the writer of the letter is a Jew pretending something. And I saw that in 2001, yet another academic came forward and again said that the conclusion is unquestionably that this is a forgery, and they say to you it's a Jew who wrote this. A Jew wrote this pretending to be someone else. So the Jews in ancient times were already busy. Before Christianity, the Jews already knew the power of the lie, and they were using it massively. And the Great Jewish Mosque actually says that Jews learned how to read and write belatedly, and they weren't even good at it, but they began to learn the power of pretending to have a great past, and they went to it with quite an intensity. And this is before Christianity was created. They already knew the power of propaganda because they were already trying to bullshit the Romans and the ancient Greeks. The Jews openly said to the Romans and the Greeks, they said, "We invented civilization." And now there's a big piece of bold bullshit from a bunch of tribesmen who live in the fucking desert, who have goats and donkeys. They said to the Romans and the Greeks, "We invented civilization." And the Romans and the Greeks, because they had such a long written history, they laughed at them. They scoffed at them. They said, "That's bullshit." That the Roman equivalent of bullshit, whatever that is. And they said, "That's nonsense. You people didn't invent civilization." But nowadays, you'll find Christians and large numbers of whites believing, "Oh, the Jews are such an old, ancient race. You know, they've been around for 3,000 years. Their lineage goes back 6,000 years." All total nonsense. And nobody mentions that, excuse me, if Jews have been around for 3,000 years, what about the whites who've been around in Europe and the Caucasus region for 45,000 years? Who's really the oldest?
Yeah, good point.
So the Jews are liars, and they know the value of the lie. So, Alex, are there any other things about your visit? You say you talked for several hours. Like, how many hours?
No, probably two, I would say.
But still, 2 hours, long discussion. Nice. And did they just talk to you? They didn't take notes? They didn't record anything?
No, they did not have any visible guns or recording material, and neither did I. I mean, I didn't write anything down. I told them where I was coming from, basically.
Okay. So, Alex, can I ask you, has the FBI ever spoken to you before?
Yeah, they've spoken to me before, but not like this, though. I mean, I've had them come to my door. Oh, wait a minute. Is it FBI? Yeah. There was a different guy one time, but that was part of a subpoena on some court case related to Bill White, who I doubt you remember. As I recall, if I'm recalling correctly, because I've had a couple subpoenas, or sometimes the cops will come if somebody bitches about something on the forum. But the FBI came one time, subpoena. They wanted the information on Bill White's posts that he had made, and he had no problem with me giving it to him. I would have given it to him anyway. It was just confirming shit they already knew. But I didn't talk to them at that point. They were just giving me the subpoena.
So they subpoena. Did they?
I don't know. Do you have subpoenas there? They show up. They give you. They say, "Hey, I'm from the whatever, either local cops or FBI. Here's a subpoena." And then you go, "Okay." And they may tell you, like, "Yeah, you got to be at this court at this time or whatever, and give this information or whatever." So, but that's not the same thing at all. That's a legal matter.
Okay, I've never had them come to me with a subpoena, but yes, we do have the same concept here. So a subpoena basically calls you to court, and now you have to testify. They ask you questions. So you've had that before?
Yeah, I had that with Bill White, and at that point I was really in the midst of the worst of my illness, and I actually, instead of going to testify wherever the trial was, I think it was in D.C., I actually testified by video conference. But it was, 10 minutes, purely pro forma, just that, this person had made this post on the forum, whatever. It wasn't – there was no opinions involved. It was purely they were establishing that this person under this IP had posted this material, which Bill White was not disputing or apologizing for or backing away from. So that really was just – luckily I was able to do it from here in town rather than fly out there, because I was really, really fucked up at that point. That was probably 2008, I think.
Okay.
Sounds about right. So, but that's the only time I ever had them come to the door. I've had the local police come a couple times, but –
also to do with VNN Forum?
I had one time some guy was posting stuff under someone else's name to give him a bad reputation, and the victim ended up calling like the local police to come out. And I said, oh yeah, you know, I, at that point I wasn't watching the forum too much. So I said, no problem. I took his name down.
Okay. You mean you deleted
that's
stuff?
The only thing I recall. Yeah. I mean, it was like one guy was trying to defame someone else by using his name and making a bunch of bullshit comments.
Oh, okay.
And somehow the dude found out about it. So he wanted it removed. So I removed it. No problem.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
The only other time. Call. So that's pretty much the legal dealings. I had other legal shit, but it was the civil rights people came after me for a couple of ads that we had. A couple of states tried that, but that was years and years and years ago.
Okay. Adverts that you put up.
We had at one point, there were two of these. One was like, they claim was some violation of like civil rights law of Indiana, and all these civil rights people are all coordinated through the Department of Justice. So if they find anything, if there's someone they don't like, they can use it to go after them. So they actually came after me pretty hard. I don't even remember what exactly that was, but you know, they were claiming it breached some kind of, because I used to run little classified ads on VNN or on the forum. So they came after me. I had a lawyer do some pro bono work. So finally they couldn't really do anything because it was a state thing more than a, if I'd been in Indiana, though, they might have been able to fuck with me more than they could. And then the other time, a guy from Ohio sent me like an ad, and he said, I'm like a white male. I'm looking for a position where I can be non-PC. And it turns out, in Ohio, it's like illegal even to mention like you're a white male. I think something like that. So those fuckers were after me, but they couldn't do anything. They can just write nasty letters. And what you find is all these states have like civil rights commissions that typically have a bunch of Christians and niggers and Jews and sex deviants are the on the board of the commission, and they can send you nasty letters, and they want to fucking make you pay fines and re-educate you and whatever. But if I'm in Missouri, they can't really do too much from Ohio or Indiana. Now, they can if they're with the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice, which is, you know, the FBI is part of the Department of Justice, they can superintend harassing you with all these letters and stuff. But the stuff I was involved with was comparatively minor. They did try to make something of the Indiana one, but they couldn't really do anything in the end other than kind of denounce me. But yeah, I mean, if they get something in some other place, like if it was directly from Missouri or something, they'd be a little harder to deal with. Or if it was a federal issue, it'd be harder to deal with. I mean, that's why, you know, if I was like, say I'm running a restaurant or something, I mean, fuck. I mean, you as a practical matter, you can't be involved in this kind of politics and do anything like where you're, you know, where you're known to be, say, renting stuff to the public or any kind of a public accommodation. They can completely, if not set you up, they, you know, find frivolous grounds for attacking you politically through the courts.
Yes.
That's how the game is played in America. They just use the courts and the media to tag team and destroy anybody who thinks differently.
Yeah, the Jew takes the process and he uses the process as his method of warfare against you.
Well, I mean, they're literally using it against Trump.
Yeah.
You've got a clown judge in Hawaii who's saying that he can't defend the nation's borders. How the hell is that possible? Every paper in the land is anti-Trump. Every single one is anti-Trump. All the TV media are anti-Trump. I mean, so... Yeah, they use the courts and the media, and they just attack any center of opposition that's out there. So if you got money, you better hide it. Anytime you have an asset or you have income or you're serving the public, they can completely fuck you up.
Absolutely.
Because no one else can get a word in edgewise. So all the public is going to read is how evil you are and how rotten you are. And if they can do that to the president, they can certainly do that to anybody else.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I see that they really focus on is they are keen on destroying you financially. They go out of their way to destroy your career, anything.
Because that's where power comes from, money, and they don't want anyone with serious money opposing them. They don't want anyone with professional credentials, professional serious credibility opposing them. They want to keep it down. It's only these scumbags in trailer parks are the only ones who speak against us because they're awful, evil, racist, hateful people.
Yeah.
So they have to keep suppressing the fact that normal people are against them and hate what they're doing to the country.
Yeah, Alex, dead on. You know, because they go around even in South Africa and they make out, oh, well, you know, only dumb people, only rednecks and retarded boers are right wing, you know, ignoring the fact that all the highly educated, highly skilled Germans and Italians and Swiss, that they're also flipping racist and right wing, actually.
Well, I've always said, and I've never seen anyone else make this point, they're always like, how could the highly educated Germans turn on the Jews? Well, that's why they turned on them, because they're highly educated. And they didn't turn on them. They fought back against them, just like those brave men and women in Chemnitz yesterday.
Wow.
And that's why don't write them off. They're more it's hard to convey to people in Anglo cultures where everybody's a freaking clown and nothing has any weight. And everybody's incredible and amazing and sparkles. They're more serious people. So even if there's 10 of them left, they're probably likelier to revolt against Jewish tyranny than people in our countries are.
Alex, you say you speak the truth, my friend, because I think there is a greater chance of revolt elsewhere than even in South Africa. You're quite right. You know, our societies are very pathetic.
Well, Jan, look, I'm directing people. Go look at the Daily Mail. It must have been yesterday. It would be either 8:28 or 8:27. Go look at the picture. You couldn't get that many normal, solid white Americans together for anything short of a football game. You try to get them together for some white racial thing, it's almost freaking impossible. And yet they've got thousands there, jam-packed. So you tell me how sheepish and unindividualist and conformist the Germans are compared to British, compared to American? It's laughable.
The European...
We can't get serious people to do jack shit over here.
Same
whining the internet under fake names.
Same thing here, Alex. Same thing. That is why I began to form the opinion in recent years that Europe is so freaking important. The reason we are losing is because we are living in the Judaized, stupefied, Anglo-American, English-speaking world, where all of us are really the idiots. And it's not that the Germans and Italians and French are dumb. It's that they know what things are about. And we are the idiots who've ignored their historical experience, which has been firmly established over hundreds of years. And that we all can sit back and say, oh, you know, this is just anti-Semitism as stupid Europeans. Meanwhile, it's been in their faces and on their doorstep for hundreds of years, well documented, and we are the monkeys for not listening to our European brethren.
Yeah, what I would add to that is that we are personality driven, and that is the problem. It's got to be a principle, stand for that principle, and get the personality out of it. All right. And that's what seriousness basically means. But the USA is set up on, you know, some Hoosier charlatan and leading his flock, and then he falls apart, and then some other personality rises up. It's very much like world wrestling in the political sphere and in everyday life. It's just irritating. I'm not interested in the person, fucking glorious personality. Here's the problem. Here's the solution. Everyone who agrees with this, let's get on this side and do something about it. But they absolutely do not see any need for principled resistance. They actually actively mock principles. That always makes me laugh. I mean, you could have the wrong principles, but we absolutely need to have no Jews, just right. And we're white, and that's what we're about, not the rest of this garbage. It's all secondary, compromisable material, but we have to live in a country that's all white. And, well, you know, I made that point to the FBI, too. I mean, I'm like, look, if you guys – I gave them my West – my Wyoming, you know, my Wyoming idea that others have subsequently used it, but I came up with it before anyone. I said, take one – the worst state in the country, make it all white, and you'd have a land rush like never seen in human history. That's how valuable pure white racialness is. People want to live around whites, and if you – lock that in and absolutely guaranteed for all eternity, this area is going to be a white racial reservation. You get tens of millions of whites moving there, no matter how undesirable it is. That's how valuable white people are to live around exclusively. And I'm like, that's what you won't allow. All your stuff is anti-racist, whatever, but you won't allow whites to go their own way and legally exclude others from their community, which is the basis for protecting it. So that's what our demand is. That's what we want. Alex, we are not impeding you from breeding with Jews and breeding with Mexicans and blacks and burying yourself in the fuliginous fondue, as I like to say. But you are preventing us from going our way. Whites going their own way. We don't want to go down with your ship. We see value in our genes and our race. Aesthetic value, intellectual value, social value. We want to live at the white highest common denominator rather than the lowest black common denominator as the Jews are forcing on us. You know, that's not me. I'm off chasing bank robbers and helping kids. You know, yeah, well, the people you work for are doing that. You're taking the pay from the same people who are doing all these terrible things, you know?
Alex, that is excellent. You know, the whole thing of the white value and everything, the more I sit and observe things, the more I've come to the conclusion that most of what we've come to believe is complete garbage. The Jew and his buddies, and what's that, the Frankfurt School, all those old Jewish German garbage who came to screw up America, all these old communists and Jews and scum, they have come and attacked every single position and totally turned it on its head. You know, like, I repeat myself, but it's important, is that the term racism, you know, why is racism a problem? Because whites naturally are racist. Whites naturally see value in each other. And look at the Western world. I often think, why isn't the Western world called the white world? Because that is what it is. Because Europe, America, Canada, Australia, all these countries are predominantly white. They were created by whites, and whites had a system of sharing knowledge. Despite having wars, whites still shared knowledge and science, and they allowed people to move between those countries. The Western world is a white world, and the Western world is rocking and rolling. It is the Western world that's rocking. It's not Africa that's rocking. It's not South America. It's the Western world, and everybody can see the value in it. And if you leave these whites alone, you'll find that all the whites agree. You know, these blacks are idiots. They're morons. And I think the internet has really shocked the Jews because they didn't see this one coming, that the internet would become the greatest source of anti-Semitism, and that whites across the world would agree the Jew is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, to know Jews is to want them exterminated. I mean, if you want your kind to live, that's the truth. Yeah. And that's again, that gets in the Christian. That's far beyond the scope of today's show, but that's where the Christians have misdefined the Jew and misdefined civilization as their own product when it's not. It's a product of whites. They can't repeat it other places. And they say, oh, it takes us 1,000 years. Yeah, that's just clowning. That's like liberals saying they don't have enough money. The Christian equivalent is saying we haven't had enough time.
Yeah. Alex, the more I look at every major conclusion that we believe about history, about anything, I've just come to the conclusion everything is wrong. I'm actually busy with a series of videos about the German invasion of Russia, and I've just been working on a precursor to that, which is about the times when the whites of Western Europe invaded Russia, because the main thing that comes out of it is that, oh, you know, only idiots invade Russia. Russia's unconquerable. And I've actually just been spending the last 2 days working on this thing, looking at, you know, let's really look closely at it. And what do we actually find? And Alex, every time I go and I look at something or you or somebody else tells me about something you've discovered or you point me in a direction, I find that every time I go in a direction, I come to the opposite conclusion of that which is supposedly common knowledge. I find that when you look at anything in detail, you say, hold on, this stuff that we've been taught, this is bullshit. You know, the same old bullshit about, oh, the Nazis, all those evil Nazis, and the Nazis exterminated the Jews, and the Nazis were a threat to the world. No, Jewish communism was the threat to the world. The Nazis were busy fixing the problem. So,
yeah, that's correct. And they've taught, you know, modern people to identify today's leftists with Nazis, which is beyond absurd.
It's crazy. In every conceivable way that they can, they've tried to demonize the Germans, Hitler, the Nazis. You know, they hit poor old Hitler from every side. You know, Hitler started the war. Hitler was aggressive. Hitler this, Hitler that. And then can you believe they even get to the point where they say, oh, Hitler was an idiot. He lost the war. You know, there's... They cover the thing in 360 degrees. They make sure that there's not one angle that's not one degree out of the 360 degrees is not covered. They do that with the Germans, and they do the same with whites and racism. They just hit you on every single thing. And it's astounding. They are the ones that are going against nature and history and reality. And then you are the criminal when you now want to solve the problem. You know, here's Alex Linder, time to kill, and they ignore all the many hideous things that the Jews have done. I was looking at more evidence that the Jews were behind World War II. That's also something that I started finding. I'm still busy with that. That I started finding when I started digging into the sources for the Great Jewish Mosque. I uncovered something, and I don't want to talk about it now. But Alex, I must tell you, you know, here they are coming after you. But you know what, Alex? The Jews are responsible for hundreds of millions of people being killed. Hundreds of millions. And
that's true.
And here you are in trouble because you want to take on one Jew. And there's the Jew saying, oh, you know, the best of the Goyim may be killed, you know, which might apply to guys like JFK and Hendrik Verwoerd and Hitler and so forth. The best of ours may be killed, but we're not even allowed to say a damn thing in defense. Anyway, so Alex, are there any final comments that you have?
No, I've pretty much said, and I've said my piece about the FBI and what I said to them and what they said to me. And I just want to remind people again, Kirksville today, up and operating, and I'll be adding to that. At least I add some stuff daily, and if people circulate stuff, send me a link. I'll post it if it's good. I'm not getting into religious disputes and anyone banning Bible verses. No way. I stay far away from that. But if you have decent writing, let me know. Go there, read it. I'm gonna work that up over time. It's got a bit of a pedigree because that's the one that the German Thought Police denounced. But I'm reviving it after low these years. So thanks to the FBI for inspiring me to write some more, since I'm persuasive and people like what I say. They listen to me. It made me feel good. Maybe they're blowing smoke up my ass, but I don't know. You can always, everybody can use a kick in the ass, I guess.
Sounds like you need more visits from the FBI.
Let me say also, I started doing a report in the local Community Roots Festival. And for example, I talked to like the ex-mayor. Now, he didn't know who I was. I don't come at people from a disadvantage and try to sandbag them. But I'll just say, you know, I won't give my last name a lot of times right off. I'll just say I'm Alex if they get into it. But I never hide my racial views either. And I started talking to a woman who's on the Chamber of Commerce about bringing in all the Africans. And I appraised her slogan, which she liked. And then I said, I don't think bringing in Africans is really that good of an idea. I'm like, Kirksville, you know, is great in large measure because it's whites here. And she wasn't too crazy about that. I'm going to write a little more about that. So my point is, on Kirksville today, I'm going to bring more of this new sort of model of tying the global stuff to the local community so we can see what's going on. And it should be quite interesting over time. That's how I'll conclude what I'm saying, if you see what I mean.
Well, Alex, so it's KirksvilleToday.com.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I've been looking at some of the stuff, and thank you for posting some of my stuff. And we'll be watching KirksvilleToday.com. I'm glad that you're writing, Alex. I'm really glad that you're writing and active, because all of us, we must just do as much as we can, because we are the resistance. We are the only thing there is, really. And
we are the good guys, and we're getting the truth out there. We don't have to make things up to persuade you and destroy your society. We are telling you the truth.
Yeah, we're just honest people telling it like it is. And like you say, there's nothing that you say in private that you don't say in public. You are the same person. You know, unlike the Jew and the liberal and the commie and the faggot and all these others, you don't have hidden agendas. Your agenda's out in the open. And in the case of the poor Germans, the fact that their agenda was out in the open is why the Jew had to get the world to gang up on them and totally destroy them and do the most hideous things to them. But, you know, white people, we are what we are, and we must be what we are. And I saw a nice article that I'm going to post on my website, nice article where I think it's a German academic, came out and he spoke about the censorship of the media. And he said that, you know what, the kind of insults that people are being shut up for on the internet is nothing compared to the kind of open speech that the Romans had. The Romans really used to say the most damning things, and if they wanted to insult somebody, they really insulted somebody. And the Romans had free speech. And another thing he brought up, Alex, was he said that in the time of Rome, that although the elite were insulting each other and attacking each other viciously, the common people were allowed to say what they wanted against their elite. The common people could give any insult to their elite, and the elite could not act against them. That is in Roman times. Now there is free speech. And I'll tell you another little example of tolerance for free speech. It's got a bit of a twist to it. And that was Frederick the Great, the King of Prussia. Frederick the Great allowed his people to criticize him in any way they wanted. Frederick the Great allowed people to publish anything, no matter what lies they told about him. He would never, never suppress it. And there's even an example, I think there was some story where somebody was putting up something on a wall, almost like a sign of some book he'd written that was attacking the king. And Frederick the Great went up to the guy and he said, let me help you put it a bit higher so that more people can see it. Frederick the Great did not suppress freedom of speech. There is a bit of a twist to it, though, is that Frederick the Great said to his people, "You can say anything you please, but I will do anything I please." but he did allow them total free speech, even allowing them to lie about him, and he never stopped anything.
Yeah.
So
I have heard that, in fact, but that's interesting. That's typical of the kind of stuff that you publish at your website, historyreviewed.com, in which I'm circulating some of on KirksvilleToday.com. Anyway, Jan, I think we ought to wrap it up. We've been going a couple hours here.
Okay, Alex. Yep, I think we can wind it up. Thank you so much for this chat, and thanks for all that info, Alex. I really appreciate this, and I still think, all in all, I think you did excellently, and I think that the FBI didn't quite get what they expected. And they could do with some direct speech, direct free speech, more from one.
Jan, when I was thrown in jail for going in the middle of the road, I like to talk to people who are hostile to me or neutral more than I even like to talk to people who are friendly to me, because our case is that strong. I believe I can make it, and I believe I can put stuff out there. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous. It absolutely is dangerous to talk to any federal or even local police, because they will use the information, if not right then later on. Anything you say to them, they'll stick in their files, and they can pull it out when it's most worst for you and best for them. So that's something that absolutely I'm aware of that going in. It's absolutely defensible never to talk to them. I felt this was the decision I would make for the reasons I've pretty much outlined here. But, don't kid yourself. This is serious stuff, and it's got to be taken seriously. But our cause is serious. We need serious people defending it under their real names and open in public. And I'm one of them, and I will continue to do that. So thanks for listening today. This is for Jan. I'm Alex Linder, Jan in South Africa. And for Alfred, keeping the faith with him and his sister in prison there in Germany for no valid reason. This is Team White signing off, and we'll be back with you again real, real soon to talk more about Alfred and that situation, and also the farmland grabs in South Africa. So thanks for being with us today, and we'll talk to you again real, real soon.